Hi, this is Chris Evans recording another Storage Unpacked podcast. This week I'm here with Martin. Hi, Martin.
Hey, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Not too bad. Back in shorts again.
Back in shorts?
Absolutely. The weather's improved, so I'm back in shorts.
That's worrying.
Somebody's got to do it. Anyway, this week we have a follow-up podcast to the one we've done previously, which will be interesting. We'll come on to that in a second. And because of that, we have a guest with us. This week we have Simon Zola, and Simon's from Avtel, I think is the name of the company. Simon?
Yes, Avtel, and Avtel Data Destruction.
Just give us a brief background about what you do and what the company does, and that'll probably help people understand exactly what we're going to talk about this week.
Basically, we were born out of a requirement from large-scale customers across the globe who had data drives, and they wanted to securely destroy them at end of life, and they wanted to make sure that those drives were absolutely and certainly eradicated.
Wonderful. So now you are in Australia, which is why you said data rather than data, depending on where you are in the world. You're based in Australia, but do you cover that sort of area and a bit more, or is it just Australia you cover?
At the moment, Australia. The intent was to bring this service over to Europe and into Asia as well.
Okay, so the conversation for today really is a follow-up to a conversation we had previously where I think it was episode 85, Martin, when we talked about storage for home and home labs. And we were talking about destroying drives or even buying them again online. And you went on and found some online, Martin, got them shipped from eBay and you've been fiddling around with them.
Yeah, so I bought a couple of drives online, bought one online while we were recording. It turned up a couple of days later. SSD, small SSD drive, put it into an external USB 3 caddy and got to work on it. Used a piece of software called PhotoRec, which is open source, so it's really aimed at recovering photos, but it works on anything. And it's amazing how quickly you can start pulling data off a drive to the extent, I mean, one amusing thing, the first drive I played with, my virus checker picked up that there was a load of viruses on the drive.
Now, the first thing I think about that is, well, yeah, okay, if you're going to mess about with a secondhand drive, really make sure you're either sandboxing it or you've got some sort of virus protection, because you've no idea what could be on that drive when you plug it in.
Oh, yeah, very much. You should, yeah, really is that. I mean, you don't even know if it's been properly formatted, and the last thing you don't want to know is it to start spamming you with viruses or malware. So, yeah, that was interesting. Then you start pulling off files. You can start seeing things like photos, videos. But this drive was obviously a D drive. I could see this by all the shortcuts on there. So that was obviously a D drive. And that was kind of interesting. But what I was really interested to see whether I could get hold of a boot drive. So I looked on eBay and I found a few descriptions of things which sounded like they'd had Windows installed on them. They sounded like they were boot drives. So I got one of those. And then things started to get a little bit scary if you're ever thinking of selling a drive on eBay. I could recover the whole operating system. So I could have brought up the whole thing. As soon as you've got access to the operating system directories, you've probably got access to the user directories, and I did. These weren't encrypted. Windows 10 has the option of encrypting your home/user directories. I'd advise you do that. And then you can start pulling people's cookies off. And if I'd really wanted to, I could have started rooting around and finding password files and start cracking passwords. Because if you've got the drive in your hands, you've got as much time as you like to play with it.
Yeah, and I guess even worse, you could clone that drive. So you could take a copy of it, stick it on somewhere else, and just leave a virtual machine or some other machine absolutely, you know, hammering on that drive to try and crack those passwords. You don't even have to continue using the drive itself. You could have just cloned it.
And it's documents. There's personal documents on there. There's Excel spreadsheets, somebody's personal account details, their letters to the bank, all kinds of things. Absolutely perfect if you wanted to steal somebody's identity, for instance. Very easy to identity theft if you've got all that information. I didn't trawl too deeply. I put it through and I used an open source secure wipe and actually wiped it several times. And now just using an external USB 3 drive, I mean, I'm filling it full of data. But it was really quite frightening. Certainly as an end user, if you're a home user, I would be tempted never to sell another drive on eBay.
And just out of interest, I mean, you got 2 out of 2 where you could actually recover something. And that's pretty amazing, really. I mean, I had a quick look on eBay and there were people talking about we've formatted the drive, we've wiped the drive before we ship it. Do you think people just simply thought by destroying I was going to call it the fat table, which I don't think that shows how old I am, whatever the current equivalent of the fat table is. Do you think people think by just simply just going on and hitting the format button and logically formatting it that they thought that the data was gone?
I pretty much assume that's what they were doing. There are probably a better ways of doing it, but you just put it in and you just tell these programs to treat this like a raw drive and go and find me what you can. Find me the deleted partition table. If you can't find a partition table, try and work out what the partitions are and create me one.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amazing. So, Simon, coming over to you, in your business, clearly the sort of business that you do, you're trying to avoid getting into that scenario where people have got data on devices that could potentially leak out of their business. So you clearly are very focused on helping people destroy drives like that.
I mean, I just need you guys here in Australia and everywhere else I go. I mean, 100% hit rate, job done. It's just amazing. I mean, it's a simple lesson, and that is, you know, what can be wiped can be unwiped, you know, formatted, you know, doesn't work. I mean, really, the message that all of us need to understand is that if you can't, you know, I guess for me, if you can't see a change in state, that's assuming they even try to wipe the drives. It's just such a huge risk, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really quite surprised, because personally, we talked about this last time around, I would always just destroy drives before I sent them to what I would class as recycling. We'll come on to that in a second. But I would absolutely make sure the drive was certainly destroyable or unusable from the casual user. Potentially that isn't perfectly practical from somebody who is absolutely determined, but certainly from a casual user perspective, I would always do that. But I do wonder whether people look at it and say, do you know what, there's some potential value in this, I can resell it, I can make a little bit of money. And I wonder whether it's really worth the effort when the risk that they're exposing themselves to is so high in this scenario.
Well, yeah, Chris, if you think about it, it was costing me less than £15, British pounds, to actually buy a secondhand drive. And even if my hit rate would be really low, even I'd bought 100 of those, if I had nefarious intent, I only need two or three of them to actually start yielding interesting information. And the value goes up massively. So for £15, if you're a home user, you just think, oh, I've got this old SSD, selling it on. It seems a false economy, seems a bad idea to me.
One little thing before we move on, with Simon, you can talk to us a bit more in a second about the destruction process and things. But here's a thought, Martin. What about encrypted drives? So drives that are deliberately built as being encrypted, does that mean that they're more likely to have a better secondhand value? Because you know that if you delete the keys, that data has absolutely gone.
Yeah, I would have thought so. But we're not seeing that level of encryption in consumer drives yet. Well, I don't think we are. But as people like Microsoft start to bake encryption in, there's a potential there, I think. And for instance, if most corporate laptops these days either have external USB storage devices turned off, or by default, they encrypt all the data onto them. So, I mean, corporates are really worried about data loss. Individuals should start worrying about data loss.
That's my sentiment, exactly. I mean, you know, it's amazing. The research here in Australia, as an example, is that there's an estimation, not research done by me, by others, that there's circa 25 million mobile phones sitting in people's drawers, which is bigger than our population. And if I ask these people why they won't dispose of their phones, because they clearly understand there's value in the data on the phones and they're worried. Yet, if you ask them, do they take the same approach for a PC? Well, a lot of them do. But, you know, there it is. People perceive and understand that the data on these phones and drives is important to them. They've now, you know, they shouldn't be selling them, is my thought. And then the next question is, how do they meaningfully wipe, dispose of them, sanitize them, get rid of the data? And you know, then there begs the question of, you know, what's recommended to be the most secure method?
Okay, let's talk about that then, because from, say, a business or an individual, my concern always is obviously, first of all, you're throwing away something that seems to have some sort of value or took a lot of effort to produce and potentially has things like precious metals in, etc. So just simply throwing it away seems horrendous as a concept. But clearly, we do want to destroy these devices so we can't reuse them. So what is it you're doing, Simon? What is it you think is best practice in this industry?
Well, yeah, even beyond what we're doing, what should be done is you know, you've got options. Obviously, if you elect and understand the reasons to physically destroy it or physically remove the data. If you use a wiping software as a person, you can't see a change of state. The computer just says it's wiped. If you use a degaussing, if it's metallic or magnetic, then obviously, again, you don't see a change of state. So we recommend physical destruction. And obviously from that, you're creating a downstream waste. But that downstream waste globally has a value, in fact, has a substantial value. So collected together, there's professional downstreaming. Admittedly, in Australia, most of it actually goes offshore to Singapore, Japan, Taiwan. And there's decent money to be made for selling that downstream waste.
Okay, so that's implying that, I mean, we know that drives are manufactured in places like Taiwan and Thailand and so on. Are we saying that what's actually happening there is that waste is being reused potentially to make other products, not necessarily drives, of course, but, you know, potentially other products? There is actual value in the metals there that they can reuse.
100%. They have, you know, various wet and dry separation. and there's zero to landfill. There are endless names of metals and gold and silver and aluminium and stainless steel to be recovered, but suffice to say, it's all reutilized.
It's Chris. So Tokyo Olympics, it was announced, I think, this week or last week, that all the medals will come from recycled metal extracted from mobile phones.
Oh, right. Yeah, I saw that. I didn't actually look at the detail of the article. So it's from mobile phones.
Yeah, it's yes. So it's all recycled, reclaimed gold, silver, however they're doing with the bronze. So, yeah.
Okay. I just want to wind back a little bit and just talk about the whole destruction process, because when I was more of an end user, we would potentially see people come in with, I think, effectively, you correctly called it degaussing, but what I would have just called a massive magnet, and to try and basically disrupt the field of the actual hard drive itself and wipe the data. Clearly, you would expect that to work, but I guess what you're saying, Simon, is that at the end of the day, you can't guarantee that somebody hasn't done that process accurately or properly, because you can't physically see the result of that work being done.
Yeah, and I think that's the fairest way. I do not think it should be put down, because it is accepted. But I suppose if one is very serious about their data and is following the various standards like the Australian ASIO-T4 or the American NSA or the UK CSEG, if they want absolute destruction, then they go beyond the degaussing and the wiping, and they go into the absolute physical destruction, and they nominate particle size as well for which to mill it or shred it down to. And that's, you know, to be completely certain there's nothing left.
Wow. Okay, let's talk about that then, because obviously this is what your business does, and therefore that's why we've got you here, to help us understand that process. Now, if I've got a hard drive, which I don't know, what are they, about kilogram-ish, half a kilogram these days, yes, I think half a kilogram.
50.
When you take those drives, you describe the process as milling. I mean, what are you actually doing to destroy this drive once you've received it or once you've got it?
Well, there's two sides for that. I mean, the reality is, and as I've learned over the last 18 months, we became very excited about our proprietary system of milling versus shredding. And that's simply because when you mill, you break it down to a uniform particle size. You don't get shreds. Everything is, if you like, in a circular motion. So it literally is data to dust. But I think that, in combination, which really needs to be understood, what is a customer after? What is anybody after? We're all customers. And that is a chain of custody. If you're going to go through this process, then you have to have verification and validation that the drives or the data that you've handed over to the person destroying it has been received, has been accounted for, has been destroyed, and has been disposed of. Our method, yes, it's a very high security solution, conveyor belt, cameras, barcode reading of every single device that goes through the machine and out the other end. So, you'll be putting in a 40 gram magnetic hard drive, and 7 seconds later, it's dust in a chamber at the bottom.
Wow. We'll talk about that in a second, but chain of custody, this is basically saying that you can prove that you were given this drive by somebody, you've physically destroyed it, and that you're certifying that that data will be absolutely gone. And are you doing that on premises for that customer, or do they have to somehow securely ship the drives to you?
Again, that's our USP. We believe in. We believe in, to mitigate risk, it needs to be on site. So we built, in our particular case, we built mobile data destruction trucks. And the whole, the whole proposition is that we come to you, which is minimizing risk. Because obviously, as has happened in Australia to one of the large banks, is that the drives were lost in transit and nobody could account for them. So I guess, we believe it needs to be physically on site.
And does that mean that you come around? I mean, I don't understand. I'm not trying to belittle it. I'm just trying to understand the process. But, when people come around and they have their rubbish collected, are you doing almost like a similar process where you're going from business to business over the course of a day and you pick up a few drives here and destroy them, certify them, move on? Is it like that?
That would be an ideal world, I guess, an ideal situation. What tends to happen is, you've got on-prem and off-prem cloud. Obviously, your key targets are things like data centers and banks, where you have massive amount of data in one location, IT refreshes, etc. But the reality is, you turn up to the site, you'd set up and do the destruction. You're obviously having to take the waste away, and when you're back to base, you're then sending them a complete verification spreadsheet, cameo picture of every single drive destroyed, and a certificate guaranteeing that everything has been destroyed and disposed of.
Amazing. Let's talk about this, the idea of the milling side of things then, because it sounds to me like that is, I guess, safer from the sense that you're not basically breaking the drive up into pieces that are potentially sharp or dangerous, but also I guess it must make it easier for transport, for processing and everything else. But it sounds like there's a lot more effort to get to that stage than it would be if you were simply shredding.
Absolutely. I mean, well, effort, it certainly, I mean, if one is to follow the standards of which there are, where they nominate particle size, you know, personally, obviously, I find it somewhat strange that one has to mill, you know, ultimately large volumes of stainless steel and aluminium in the case of a magnetic drive to such a small size, when really, the bar a couple of chips, the data bearing device are the platters. And the interesting thing is the platters turn to dust inside a mill within seconds. And I mean, literally dust, you can't find anything. Obviously on SSDs and NVMe flash memory, you do have to go a lot smaller because the data itself, you know, the microprocessors are so incredibly small these days. They need to be broken down to a sub 2 mil particulate to meet the standard to be a guarantee.
Wow, that's pretty small, isn't it? That's amazing. And I'm surprised, just Martin, between you and me, I mean, I'm trying to think what hard drives are made of in terms of the platters nowadays. I thought a lot of them were using things like glass.
Yes, I did. It's just grinding it down. Yeah,
so maybe that's why they destroy to them, or they go to almost nothing when they're in the process, I guess.
That's absolutely, they are. They're an aluminium glass mix, and inside a mill, unlike a shred, they disappear to dust within seconds because obviously the mill is rotating at about 3,500 RPM, and you know, it drops in, and it's a violent process. And within, on the smaller ones, within seconds, it's dropping through the grate and out the bottom and into the receptacle, which itself is obviously that creates quite a lot of heat. So interesting enough, you know, in the waste bin, it's busy cooking sort of at about 110 degrees as well, which doesn't do data any good either.
So we can pretty much be certain that this process, well, it's absolutely destroying our data, but it's actually producing something that can be resold, which is amazing. Now, are there any hazardous or safety aspects of that there, Simon? Because I'd have thought there would have been a lot of potentially poisonous chemicals in here. Do you have to sort of work in an enclosed environment to guarantee, you know, safety?
Interesting you should say that. I mean, we follow the rules in Australia with the Environmental Protection Agency. So we have licenses, which funnily enough are for carrying waste, not necessarily for processing it. But we do have a fair crack of technology on board the truck to make sure pressures are equalized and air doesn't travel in certain directions. And we wear masks, and we keep people for their own safety further back from the truck as we can. But no, it's legal. But you're right, when you change the state of, you know, any fixed item like that and put it into the air, I guess it carries a risk.
Yeah, I would have thought it's dust as well. Dust has some very interesting risks as well, as we know, because it can blow up to start with. So do you keep it damp, or what do you do with it?
Yeah, fire suppression's an option at certain sizes and is in place, and you know that's one way of dealing with it. Other than that, there is a combination of there's a combination of HEPA vacs. So there's some very high-level HEPA vacs that actually collect all the superfine dust and stop it going into the air.
Cool.
So we don't want to give too much of your proprietary technology away, but you are dealing with that as an issue, I think is what you're trying to say.
Yes.
Absolutely. Great. You mentioned SSDs and hard drives. You know, is there sort of the limit of what you can you do both of those quite happily? You know, is there any restrictions about what technology can't be destroyed, persistent media in this way?
No, I think, you know, on the milling process, which, you know, CDs, DVDs, USB sticks, magnetic drives, SSDs, PCB boards, mobile phones, preferably without batteries inside them, but we've done them with batteries inside them, not in numbers, just to test it. I would imagine long term it's without batteries. LTO tape.
Okay, I was going to ask you about tape, because that seems to me that might be something that would jam up a equipment, because it would heat, the tape would heat up and become difficult to deal with, but you can cope with that.
No, they all have their nuances, I can tell you, but you soon learn the hard way, and you learn, you know, what, how to configure and on what grates to use, et cetera, but there's a fair bit of thought and engineering that's gone into the design of these, especially in the form factor that we've done them. I know in the Americas, they have the American agricultural size of this, which is, you know, super large, and it's kind of a stand-back technology, but ours is specifically designed to handle, you know, European and Australian CBD areas.
Let's talk about that then, going into what a business should do and how maybe an individual should look at this, because your business is clearly targeted at businesses and you're driving around and collecting large numbers of drives from businesses, as you said, CBD in an environmental business district area. If you are a business, are you saying we recommend that people destroy all of their media at every point? Because a lot of vendors, for instance, would want you to ship failed media back to them. And then I guess they reuse it or they do something else with it, because not all failures in a system are physical. They can be logical. So, you know, would you recommend for the most highest level of security businesses just destroy everything?
I leave alone what we do. Just, you know, I've had an amazing 18 months of my life coming out of the security industry and coming into this as a newbie. And I think the thing that I've learned is, you know, I've looked back at the mistakes I've made just as a citizen. And it just amazes me to think, I mean, the way I sort of put it out on the plate is people will spend vast sums of money protecting their data in the cloud, malware, software, etc. That's what all the organizations around the world are busy selling their customers. But isn't it amazing that you could have all that information just neatly collected for you on a 1 terabyte drive and you have no idea where it's going? So my comment to anyone and everyone that will listen is, how could you build a business, whether it's your customers' details or your own IP, how could you let that drive out of your eyesight and not understand where it goes? How would you dare take the risk? How is £15 versus 10 years of work worth your while? Why would you do that? Why for £15 did you let go of your bank account details? Why for £15 did you let go of all your personal contacts? Just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I think, Martin, from our perspective, if you look at the storage appliance / array industry, obviously we have encrypted drives. We talked to Aaron Brown the other week about the idea of putting in encryption at very different layers in the environment. But you found effectively hard drive SSDs from what looked like a desktop potentially. I mean, that could be within a business and that could be an area where somebody completely misses. The data center side of things gets completely handled, but the desktop doesn't.
Yeah, but I think so. And it's also an interesting thing. I was just thinking about this. You could also, I mean, so it's not just about buying bare drives. You look on eBay, there are tens of thousands of laptops and desktops. Use desktop. So all this information is potentially risk. So even actually having it in the system it was in the first place. So from an individual point of view, and I'm really focused on the individuals on this, you just don't have the resources to do the secure arrays. So maybe you have to think very carefully about before you sell things on.
Martin, you're so right. I mean, you know, most of us, including me, have no idea how to efficiently erase or degauss. We wouldn't even have the degausser available. So, you know, it is a nice value. And that's probably why in Australia there's all these mobile phones in people's drawers and home computers, because they know they need to be doing something with it, but they just don't know what to do with it.
And what's the option for that if you're an end user then, if you're an individual or consumer at home, Simon? Is there an option for them to be able to destroy their drives in a secure way through a service like yours, or is that something we should be building?
It's something we should all be building. I mean, certainly we've looked at, you know, and it's not giving it away, everybody's thought about it, is, you know, you've got in Australia, you've got Australia Post and you've got high security post as you have in the UK. And I think you're still better. It's still a lower risk to send it, you know, registered parcel post signed for to an organization like ours. And then we destroy it and send them back a certificate.
It seems to me that if there's value to the actual product itself, there must be a way of trying to mitigate some of the cost there to make it a little bit attractive to somebody to say it's worth me sending this in, because even if it costs me a small amount of money, that risk is better than just throwing it away.
To be honest, whether it was $1 or $15, the cost to them for losing that data is so much more. I mean, just, you know, to have to track and understand what you've lost, you know, and this is the, you know, the big issue here with the GDPR and the NDB, is the cost to business of notifying all those concerned whose data has been lost is enormous and, to be honest, unknown.
Yeah, I was going to say for an individual, I'm just wondering, Chris, whether you could perceive something like a system where you turned up at a supermarket and you watched your drive being destroyed. You know, like those old penny flattening machines?
Yeah, I do. I know what you mean. I mean, it could be one of those things where they say, we're going to be on here on this day. You can turn up and have your drive shredded, and then we'll be somewhere else the next day. You know, so they sort of go around in different things.
100%.
Yeah, that would be an interesting way of doing it. I think especially when you can add on the fact that you can be told that this stuff isn't going to go into a landfill at that point afterwards, that there is value, and therefore you are being environmentally friendly as well as being very sensible about how you're managing your data. And I think those two combined make a lot of sense.
Do they do e-waste collection days in the UK? Certainly in Australia, it's massive with the councils and it's growing all the time, where a lot of the big organisations will go into a local to a local council and it'll be advertised to all the ratepayers and they'll say, we have an e-waste collection over these 2 days, and you would be amazed at what turns up. And then alongside that, we'd bring the data destruction truck or others and provide that service as well. I mean, I guess the only logistical problem is the ITAD, which is the IT asset disposition. That's getting the drive out of the computer, which is easy enough done, as you guys would know, on the older style. But some of these modern, thinner ones, it's quite hard to understand where on earth the drive is.
Yeah, I would say, I don't know about where you are, Martin, but we've got completely the opposite with our council, where they absolutely do not want to take anything they don't have to, and they will charge you for it, and they will treat it as being commercial if it looks anything other than a straightforward laptop or something like that.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's councils are like that. And of course, we do have some of the vendors. And it'd be interesting to see what Apple and the other companies do, where you can turn up with your laptop and they will dispose of it and supposedly dispose of it in an environmentally friendly way. I'd love to know what they're doing with the drives, the data storage devices in those. Are they refurbing it? If they're refurbing it, to what quality are they refurbing it?
I think that's a question we'd have to try and see if we can get somebody to talk on. That'd be an interesting one.
I have spoken to several in that space. I can't say who, but you'd be surprised to find out both all the big drive manufacturers and some of the big names in the industry don't want to repurpose. They do want to physically destroy, but they are going to, in a green manner, completely downstream and make sure they're zero to landfill. But they would rather that the device is end of life in totality.
Yeah, it would make sense. Mm. Otherwise, they don't want lots of refurb drives flooding the market. They don't want to do it themselves. So, yeah. There's a need for a service like this, certainly for large and smaller businesses. I was just thinking, there are quite a lot of small businesses. How many doctors' receptions are probably doing this properly, or dentists and things like that? So, yeah, I think there's a real need for service.
Simon, that was fantastic. Thank you for taking us through that. That's really interesting. I think it gives us lots of things to think about, especially, Martin, as you just said, around things like all the different smaller organisations that might have data they need to destroy, like doctors, hospitals, you name it. Where can people find more, Simon, about your company online and maybe understand how your process works?
Well, I think if anyone's interested in the whole process, I found some of the key words to look up is data destruction, data sanitisation. And you'll see a raft of companies come up in that space. Ours is called Avtel Data Destruction. They'll come up somewhere lower down. But, you know, sanitization, destruction, end of life is where they need to be looking.
Wonderful. Thanks. Okay. As usual, I'll put some links up to that onto the website so people can find that, which obviously we can find at storageunpacked.com. You can follow us on Twitter at storageunpacked, and you can obviously find us in LinkedIn on our LinkedIn group. Simon, thanks very much for being with us today. And I know it's a bit late for you at the moment. Appreciate you joining. And I think that was a really interesting discussion.
Thank you.
Cheers, Simon.